Hi, this is John Bartlett, co-host of the Shofar Ministries Hour, and I want to tell you about Mullet Masonry. Working with either brick, block, or stone, their work is impeccable, earning them a great reputation. They service residential, like chimneys and restorations, as well as the bigger commercial-type jobs. They're located in Geauga County, but will service any of the surrounding areas. They're experienced, they do great work, they're affordable, and they're very nice as well. Need a free estimate? Call Chad Mullet at 216-570-0177. That's 570-0177. Give them a try next time you need any facet of masonry work. After all, Mullet Masonry helps to keep Shofar Ministries on the air. So be sure to tell Chad you heard about him right here on WHKW Christian Radio. Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and Shabbat Shalom to all of you who are listening live today, as well as on the World Wide Web, WHKWradio.com. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host today with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford, who loves to share with you the biblical gold nuggets, especially about the end times. Hope you're taking notes today, but remember, you can always re-listen to the show later this week on shofarministries.net, that website there. And before we get started, let's ask God for his blessing on this program and to all the listeners who have set aside their current cares of this life to receive more of Jesus through his word. Father, I pray for the people listening today that you would give them a hunger to study your prophetic word because Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. We ask you to heal the brokenhearted, the broken in body, broken in spirit. Help us to live for you until the very moment you appear and we meet you in the air. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah.
Amen. Thank you, John, and Shabbat Shalom to you too. Baruch atah Hashem Adonai, which means blessed be the name of the Lord. And I want to thank those of you who came out last Thursday at Lakeshore Assembly of God and Mentor, and I think some eyes were open to a few things. Wouldn't you say, John?
Oh, yes, indeedy. And if you would like Sheila to come out to your church or group, give her a call at 440-834-9006. And Sheila, isn't tomorrow a special Sunday?
Yes, it is. It's the Feast of Pentecost, and we're going to discuss that later on in the show, this fourth kept or fulfilled appointment of the Lord. And also, if you want to know, it is on our Spring Feast DVD, the Feast of Pentecost. Extended.
Yes, it is.
And just in case we run out of time today.
And first, before we get started on that, we know that the pieces of the puzzle of prophecy are in the news, and they're falling into place very rapidly. So what's going on right now that's predicted in God's Word?
Well, the biggest news to me, and I, the one that's got me really excited this week, is that soon upcoming Middle East war. And you think, well, now why would that get me excited? I don't like war really any more than anyone else. But we talked about it in the last half hour of our show last week. So I encourage again, people, if you haven't, didn't hear last week's show, at least go to the last half of the portion on the website and listen to it. It's the War of Psalm 83. And I have gotten so much more confirmation this week that that war is indeed about to happen at any time. So I would like to do a quick review of that. And again, once again, if you missed it, I encourage you to check it out on the radio podcast.
Yes, if you missed last week's program, just go to shofarministries.net and listen to the radio podcast, because this war will occur soon in Israel, and it will affect everybody.
But I think in a good way.
Yes.
Yes, that's why I think we're kind of excited, because according to what I read in Psalm 83, number one, it has to happen before the tribulation, because we don't see the words in that day anywhere.
That's right.
And if you know, if you've been studying along with us, one of the probably podcasts not too long ago, we taught about what In That Day means.
Yes, and that
so
was...
Again, go to that, learn to as that. Much as you can, because we only have an hour here, so...
Yes.
But I think they're going to get that land back that was originally promised to Abraham. Because if you look at it carefully, it's the inner circle of their enemies. Not the outer circle, which is the Gog and Magog war that's going to happen during the tribulation. But their inner circle of enemies, the Hamas, the Palestinians, the Jordanians, the Syrians, mm-hmm. you know.
All those that are geographically close to them.
Right.
On their borders, within their borders, and their enemies. And they're all listed in that psalm, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. And I, again, when I was looking at it carefully, I thought, you know, this is exactly the boundaries from the River Nile to the River Euphrates that God promised Abraham that the Jews would someday have totally in their midst. And
yes.
You know what? They've never had all of that before.
They have never had that all that land before.
They had a lot with Solomon, but there was always Egypt. But mm-hmm. now they're going to have the eastern section of Egypt, according to Psalm 83.
Yes.
So,
and then would that be include the northern border of the Euphrates? That goes clear up to Lebanon and Syria part of Iraq, correct?
Yes, yes, yes.
And all of Jordan, I think, really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. So, you know, well, anyway, before we get started, please keep in mind, the speed with which end-time events are breaking is actually staggering. And you, ladies and gentlemen, were born for such a time as this. So take notice. You are an intricate part of God's plan for this generation. See these often trying times as a gift from God to you, because he trusts you to share what you know and what you're going to learn. It really is only his friends that are privy to detailed gold nuggets. You know, Jesus had his inner core friends that he wanted to spend more time with. But it's your choice if you want to be in that inner core of friends. It's a small remnant that are willing to spend hours, even daily, in his word. And remember, Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, as John mentioned in prayer time. So you must study it if you want more of Jesus. And again, I'm just going to start and give you some of the news that I've heard actually just this past week since airing last week's program.
Yes, more things have happened, that more pieces of the puzzle have
That's right.
fit in.
More confirmation, which is
or
what I always like to know, because
yes.
Psalm 83 has been kind of a hidden prophecy for a while. Nobody's really taken a lot of notice. Now all of a sudden it's like in the forefront since I've heard that this war is going on and about to happen. So let me go.
Okay.
Hezbollah, which again is the enemies of Israel, as well as most of them over there, but it's funded by Iran. They recently announced that his organization, Hezbollah, was on war preparedness, and thousands of fighters are on their way to the Israeli border region right now. Now, let me remind you, since Israel lost that war to Lebanon in 2006, these terrorists are in a prideful condition. The reason I think God allowed them and didn't step in was because he wanted to get Israel's enemies in a prideful condition. In other words, oh, wow, I never thought we could really win this, and now that we have, let's build up our arsenal and let's attack again, and that's exactly what they're getting ready to do. They think Israel is weak, and because of that victory in 06, they have been planning and are now ready to make a preemptive strike soon to stop Israel's expected preemptive move. You see, they expect Israel to do something about Iran's nukes.
Yes. I think everybody does at this point.
Yes, exactly. And so they want to do a preemptive strike to stop them from doing that.
What a chessboard.
I'll say that's true. But this operation is coming down to the wire. Sources say that chaos will begin within a few months. These are reliable sources, and it's all based on the fact that Iran is now set to go with her nukes, regardless of what they're telling you in the mainstream news. They're ready. And most of them, in fact, I would say probably all, are pointed directly at Israel. Now, sources up in Lebanon, which again, Lebanon is at the north of Israel, right there on its northern border, where a lot of Hezbollah are stationed. But the good Lebanon people have reported finding a rocket near the South Lebanon village, and indicated it is positioned in readiness for launching against Israel. So again, last week we discussed the war predicted in Psalm 83 with exactly these players that are Israel's inner circle of neighbors today. The Palestinians with all their different factions, okay? The Hezbollah in Lebanon and Syria, the Jordanians, Egypt, Iraq, and northern Saudi Arabia. So pieces of this prophetic puzzle make so much more sense when you understand it as a whole. You know, you can't just listen to people here and there and they give you a little scripture and build a whole course on it.
Yes.
You can't do that. You've got to take it as a whole. Prophetic puzzle is really what it is called. But this war of Psalm 83 will be won by our God of Israel, and their borders will finally be expanded to the area promised to Abraham. And if you want to look that up, it's Genesis 15:18. So it's after they have these new borders that Ezekiel 38's war is easier comprehended when it declares in verse 11 of Ezekiel 38 that Israel's enemies are going to go up against a land of unwalled villages, living in peace and security with no bars or gates. Now, that is not the case today.
No, because there are walls.
There are, and they're still building.
And there is no peace and security.
That's right.
Right.
And I was always confused because when I read Ezekiel 38, I thought, well, that can't happen for a while because, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, well, when the Antichrist signs the agreement, he must going to be make them take down their walls and all that kind of stuff. But that's a lot of time involved.
Mm-hmm.
But now when I really understood Psalm 83 is to happening before the tribulation, and these borders are exactly what God promised to Abraham, it's just coming together again like that puzzle.
And the major clue that got you started on this, I remember you saying, was you said you didn't read anywhere in that psalm the phrase "in that day," which usually denotes, which always denotes the tribulation.
It was the Holy Spirit that opened my eyes to it, because when I had read it in the past, I thought it already happened.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they've had many prior wars, but never with all the players that is listed in Psalm 83 as they are today. So it's going to happen, and I'm excited about that because I'm glad that they're finally going to, you know, get their land back, and then they will be held in high esteem by the rest of the Arabs, and I can see them then easily signing this agreement.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just, anyway, there's a very wise United States retired military man. His name is Major General Paul Villelli. You might want to check him out. Very, very intelligent man. And he's also tight with the Israeli Defense Force leaders. He is now warning with details that the dark storm clouds are definitely on the horizon in the Middle East right now. Hezbollah and Syria are building a massive fortified wall also. Now, this is really amazing. They are building this massive fortified wall from Mount Hermon, which is the mountains up in Syria, to Lebanon. It is designed as an obstacle against any Israeli tank forces heading through Lebanon toward the Syrian capital, Damascus.
Hmm.
They are expecting something to happen. And behind this rising wall, Hezbollah and Syria can freely smuggle weapons across, concealed from outside surveillance, while deepening Syria's footprint in Lebanon. Now, there's another scripture in Isaiah 17:11. Check it out, but it says Damascus is going to become a ruinous heap.
Now, we know that's never happened, correct?
That's never happened. Damascus has always been there.
Always been there.
Done very well, actually.
Yes.
But again, that's in Syria, and Syria's part of this group that's listed in Psalm 83.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So when Israel failed to make good on its threat, and they threatened them, they said, you bring in these missiles, we're going to strike those missiles if they reach you, Hezbollah, you know, in their hands in Damascus. But they didn't do it. So because of that, Hezbollah felt free to go forward with part two of their plan for Lebanon's militarization.
Hmm.
Syria intends to keep that region off limits to Lebanese military access, except for Hezbollah, Syrian troops, officers, and arms stores are to be based there and maintained in a state of war readiness.
Wow.
Yeah, well, here's another point. Syria stands to gain another prime strategic asset at the southernmost point of this new wall. It's in the Tame Valley, where a number of water courses feed the Jordan River and the Sea of Galilee.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's Israel's prime water supply.
Not their only supply. But
no, but prime.
But prime supply.
And for the first time in many years, Damascus will be placing a hand on one of Israel's primary water sources. It's not going to go over well, and we have scripture to know that they are going to do something about it.
Yes.
And, again, the enemy is satisfied that Bibi Netanyahu, prime minister of Israel, will continue to sit on his hands. And, again, a lot of that is because of Obama. Sorry to say, but Obama has encouraged the Arabs, hey, don't worry, blah, blah, blah. I'm sure of that. But Syria and the Hezbollah are not hiding the massive barrier project's progress. It's right pretty open. Long convoys of trucks crossing in from Syria can be seen converging on the site loaded with cement and other building materials. And I really think that our administration is part of the deceived legions of Arab nations who think that if only Israel would go away, there would be world peace. And that's what they think.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, Obama has to be aware of the possible outbreak of this war. But in the meantime, is now acting like he loves Israel again, by the way. I think I mentioned that last time. Political and Jewish circles see the change as an attempt to win back Jewish voter support for the Democrats, which has been eroded over the downturn in U.S.-Israeli relations. Personally, I do think he knows what Israel's immediate neighbors are up to, and I think he thinks that they're going to win the enemy.
Wow.
Yeah. And one more little piece of news. Just a couple weeks ago, a Soviet sub docked in Beirut, Lebanon. Soviet. But it was flying an Iranian flag. Remember I told you that Russia and Iran have a allied now, our allies? Which is, of course, the War of Gog and Magog, which will come during the tribulation.
Yeah.
We are getting so close.
Uh-huh.
Workers on the submarine were seen to be wearing masks, suggesting that they were unloading something chemical. Likely weapons of mass destruction. But Hezbollah has extensive plans that go beyond this. With long-range, chemically armed Scud missiles, they have them, which have the capability to hit every city in Israel. To perform preemptive strikes on Israel airfields is what their plan is. And they also, here's another thing, they have recently dug tunnels underneath from Lebanon into Israel.
Sort of like down there on the Egyptian-Gaza border.
No. Up in the north.
Okay, but the
Lebanon.
Same thing they did down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, exactly. They did that before.
Yes,
yeah, they're good
doing
at that.
Up north. Yep.
But Israel knows what they're doing.
Yes, they do.
But there are some 60,000 rockets and missiles in South Lebanon hiding in houses, orchards, and miscellaneous buildings. Because they know Israel's not going to bomb a house because of the people living in it.
Right.
So that's why they do that.
Mm-hmm.
The intention is to rain terror on Israel with maximum damage. And Israel has been giving out gas masks in the last month.
So that is something.
So anyway, again, Major Valley, he states that Israel's jets and airstrips are in the sights of the enemy. Hezbollah and other participants in this forthcoming battle want to make it impossible for Israel to strike anyone by air. And then, of course, don't forget the martyrs. Their enemy is stacking up on young men and women. Oh, it's so sad. Who will joyfully place themselves in positions where they can self-detonate with maximum damage, and they will use these tunnels as well. And just one more little piece of information, because I think it stinks. What does Washington think of Hezbollah, okay? This was last week, John Brennan, assistant to the United States President Barack Obama for Homeland Security and Counterterrorism, he held a conference a week ago Tuesday that Lebanese terrorist militia Hezbollah, he says this, has evolved significantly over the years, evolved this way, though. They cannot today be defined as a purely hostile and evil entity. I'm so glad to see that they are renouncing terrorism and violence. This is what they're telling the people. And I'm thinking, is this just their deception, or are they just really bold-faced lying?
Wow.
What do you think?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what I think. I think the old saying goes, in Israel, never again.
Amen.
And that's, I believe, God's saying, too, because
oh,
according
yeah.
to prophecy.
Again, please read Psalm 83. You can see that he's going to do to the enemies of Israel the same thing that he's done in the past. It goes on and explains that he will help them for this war, and he doesn't need the United States to do it.
That's right. And let me remind you, listeners, later, We will open the lines for your end time question. Notice there's no S on the end of that. And if you other questions, you can always email Sheila. She will be happy to answer it on the next week's program. You can email Sheila at sheila@shofarministries.net. And check out, while you're there, check out the calendar webpage where we have events posted. Or you can call Sheila as well right at home. Leave a detailed message, and she'll be sure to get back to you.
Yes, I will.
Okay, well, the lines will be open later when we come back. If you have a question, remember.
I think you should give the phone numbers.
Okay, off. We'll give out the phone numbers, 216-901-0933 or 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. And since we cover a great big area on the radio, we would both like to visit your church for an evening of Messianic worship and a timely message. Tell your pastor. Ask him to give us a call at 440-834-9006. I would also like to add that Shofar Ministries is a non-denominational 501c3, and all your gifts are tax-deductible, and donations are really, really needed to stay on the air. So really, folks, if you like this forum with solid Bible teaching, please send your donations to P.O. Box 513 in Burton, 44021, or you may give through the shofarministries.net and use the PayPal, as well as purchase the DVDs, especially on the Spring Feast, which, by the way, includes the Feast of Pentecost, which is coming up this Sunday, and for a donation of only $15.
And we really do need your help out there. Last week we asked that we could have just 10 people that would pledge $100 per month from their tithe money, because this is a ministry that teaches you, mm-hmm. So it's feeding you spiritually. So we're looking for 10 people. Haven't gotten any yet. I was really hoping I would have at least one or two. And if I could get 10 people to do $100 a month, we could handle the rest and renew our contract, because this is our year anniversary today. Yes. So it is.
Yes. So they can call Kevin today?
Yes, Kevin's here today, and he will take your pledge on the air, or you can do it privately and give him the information. Perhaps you'd like to help sponsor in another way by advertising your company. We do commercials also, as you probably heard on the show. Or just refer someone who could. And again, you can reach me later for details by calling 834-9006, area code 440.
Okay, once again, let me give you those numbers for your end time question. 216-901-0933 or 888-677-WORD. Stay with us now. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and we'll be right back after a short break. And we'll hear a song as well.
By you, John Bartlett. Come on back. Okay, so let me ask you. How many times have you ever been asked if you knew a good Christian attorney? Well, now you have an answer. A legal representative for over 35 years, Dennis Kasalek of Chardon, Ohio, has a great reputation for honesty and integrity and is now a sponsor of the Shofar Ministries Hour. So if you still need to get that will, need financial counseling, or any legal matter, give Dennis a call at 440-285-3511. That's 440-285-3511.
What would you say to an ad telling you that a new car allowed you to be rid of oil changes and tire rotations forever? Most people would be skeptical. After all, not taking these preventive measures could result in expensive repairs or a shorter life. This is Ron Trzynski of the Original Mattress Factory, and I, too, would be skeptical. Much like I was when the one-sided mattress was reintroduced nearly 10 years ago, touting the benefit of not having to flip it. Could anyone really take a mattress that is used 6 or 8 hours every night and make it maintenance-free without sacrificing comfort and durability? At the Original Mattress Factory, we still believe strongly in two-sided products, featuring cotton upholstery, heavy gauge wire, and real working box springs that are built to last. We encourage customers to flip and rotate their beds regularly for increased comfort and durability. So stop in and discover the benefits of a two-sided mattress. The Original Mattress Factory, 4930 State Road, right at the 480 ramp.
Let's talk about one of the sponsors to this program, which helps us a lot, and that, of course, is the Alexandria School for Nannies. Do you love children, John?
Yes, I do. I've got quite a few grandchildren.
Yes, I have seven, and I love little babies. But anyway, I have a friend, and she's a listener of this program, and she's the mother of five and grandmother of three, and she has recently attended the Alexandria School for Nannies, and now she's certified as a newborn care specialist. And she's enjoyed her education so much, she is now enrolled in their accelerated program for nannies. So if you would like to work with children while adding to your family's income, which is really kind of important these days, call Carolyn at 440-781-7531. And of course, if you are in need of that special person to watch your precious children, the number is the same, 440-781-7531. Again, if you love children and would like to find out more about the opportunities that are waiting for you as a professional nanny, one more time, call Carolyn, 781-7531.
WHKW AM 1220 The Word is pleased to feature the Bible Answer Man as our Ministry of the Month. Here's a portion of the conversation Glenn Mertz had with Hank Hanegraaff.
Are you finding that people are having more and more questions and just out there just searching?
I tell you, if there was ever a need for the Bible Answer Man broadcast, it is now, because people are continuously asking questions. And I think part of the reason for that, Glenn, is that there are so many skeptics today who have received an enormous sense of popular acceptance. And as a result of that, they are raising doubts in the minds of Christians with respect to origins, with respect to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and with respect to the veracity of the Scriptures.
The Bible Answer Man is our Ministry of the Month for May. Be sure to listen to the Bible Answer Man weeknights at 6 p.m. on AM 1220 The Word.
Keep me in all of your paths, Lord, and make your ways known to me. Keep me as close as the dew is to the grass, as the sand is to the sea. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Your word is like a fountain, and it feeds the river of life. It gives grace to all the living, and it gives me joy inside. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I see your face, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. As one of your sheep, Lord, and I'll no longer stray, and I'll feed with the flock in your pasture, and I'll do all that you say. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, I won't have to die. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly. And with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly.
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and that song was sung by our own John Bartlett. And I have to tell you, John, ever since we put it on our website, which is right there, people can just click it on and just hear you.
Listen,
they don't have to
it.
Listen to me all through it and listen to the halftime, but I listen to it at home all the time now.
Do
I
you?
Just love that song, and I just dance around, and it just makes me happy.
Well, I'm happy that you enjoy it, and I know that
I
the Lord gave me the words and the music for that, and it made it come together. It's really made it come all together like that.
We are so blessed. Thank you. All right, we have a caller on the line, and we're going to take our first caller, and it's from Helen, and I think Helen's called before. Hi, Helen.
My dear brother and sister in Christ, Sheila and John, glory be to the Holy Trinity, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
I have a question about the end times, but please let me say this first. I absolutely love your show.
Thank you.
I just love hearing information about the end times.
Yeah.
And just like you, I am so excited when you mentioned about the war and Damascus being a ruinous heap. Oh,
yep.
Be still my heart.
Yeah, it's
oh,
coming.
It won't be long before things really start getting closer.
Oh,
closer
absolutely.
Jesus is coming.
Absolutely.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, me too. What's your
just
question,
like you,
Helen?
My question is, now, In the Bible, when they talk about Jesus coming back, they talk about him coming back on a white horse.
He will.
Now, I thought about this for quite a while and couldn't figure this out. I'm wondering if that's symbolism, because certainly our God does not need a white horse to come back on. There must be more to it than what I know.
Be.
Is that symbolism, the white horse?
No, I believe that's literally a white horse. I take the Bible literally whenever possible, unless it says it's like something else. And that is pretty plain. It's a white horse. Now, let me tell you why it's a white horse. Don't forget the Antichrist is a counterfeiter, and he's coming in Revelation also in the beginning on a white horse. And now that might be a symbolism, but I don't know. I've heard that there's some prominent people that own white horses. I thought that was pretty interesting. But irregardless, certainly, you know.
Well, when he ascended into heaven,
he didn't have
a white horse.
No.
So I wonder if it was going to be the same when he comes back. I'm a little confused there.
I don't know. I take it literally. I think there's animals in heaven. I hope there are. And
I do too.
I think that the saints will be on horses following him. And I think that would be fun. But I don't really care. Absolutely. But I do know this.
I know. I was just curious. I couldn't understand, because I know God doesn't need a white horse.
No, I know. But Helen, let me finish. A lot of it is because the Antichrist in the first seal comes out on a white horse, and I think there's a connection there because he's pretending to be Christ.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so, but other than that, I wouldn't worry about it. You know, we'll see, we'll find out, and I can assure you it'll be fun.
And one last quickie thing, please. John, I said it before, and I'm going to say it again. You are blessed with a wonderful voice, Mr. Cash.
Thank you, Helen.
Thank you, Helen. Bye-bye.
God bless you, Helen. Well, she's sweet.
She is. Okay, we have another caller, and this one is Brian.
You're on the line.
Hi, Brian.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I have a question about the Third Temple.
Sure.
I've heard some reports on the Internet that there's a school/temple being built in Israel, but it's not on the Temple Mount. Does
Correct.
It have to be on the Temple Mount for, like, the abomination of desolation and all that?
No. Well, it will be. But right now it's being prefabbed, and it's going to be moved later. And after doing some research, my co-host John even said that actually Solomon had built a lot of it, the walls, a lot before they even got it up to the Temple Mount. Isn't that right, John?
Yeah, the stone was prefabbed. It was pre-cut.
Yeah.
So that they wouldn't hear the the sound of the hammer
yeah.
and construction going on the Temple Mount.
So it's going to be moved, and you're right. They are building it, and they're going to move it, and it's going to be on the Temple Mount at some point here. And we were just talking about this yesterday, John.
Yes.
We were wondering if because of this Psalm 83 war and they're going to be expanding their borders, which will include all the enemies that are in their close inner circle of neighbors, we wondered, and we don't know the answer, as to whether they might even just destroy the Dome of the Rock in this war or whether they'll leave it up and build next to it, which they can.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know, but interesting, and we're going to do some more research on that and see.
Yes, and of course we've talked about, too, that this past Passover season, they were already equipped with the altar, the altar of sacrifice, the brazen altar. That's already been built.
Yes.
And they were ready to go with the Passover lamb.
They were ready.
And they were stopped.
The
government
yeah.
stopped them. They said it would be too dangerous. It would cause an uprising or riots, and they didn't want to deal with that.
Yeah, everything is just ready. I mean, the implements, the clothing, everything is ready to go. We could leave here tomorrow, and they would have no problem getting going with God's fulfillment of all the prophecies.
Okay.
You think so?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay. Hey, Brian, how long have you been listening to the show?
Last summer sometime.
Okay, great. Great. Well, thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, it's great to hear from Brian.
Yes. Well, I think we've got a few minutes left. Let's talk about this day tomorrow, huh?
Okay, yeah.
And by the way, if you want a more detailed explanation, I remember that last year, since this is our year anniversary, last year the second show, which would have been May 30th, we talked the whole show about Pentecost.
And that's archived at our website, shofarministries.net.
It is.
And you can go back to that show.
That's right.
And we explain this.
Yeah, boy, I can't believe that a year's gone by so quickly. But what a huge amount of inventory teaching is on the webpage.
Yes. And we're actually not charging you for that at all.
I know.
You know, so
just begging for donations, rather than that.
But it's information, and it's information that'll get you excited about the return of the Lord.
Oh yeah, absolutely,
yes. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And you know what? We're not aliens to bad things happening to us and tough times to go through. And I'm still suffering with this ankle thing, and it might end up being a torn tendon, and I'm not happy about it. But you know what? I am so more excited about God finishing up here and taking us home that it just makes up for it.
Yes, it does. It does. There's all of us, a lot of us in the body of Christ are hurting and going
yes,
through
is.
Some
I,
weird. And yours,
yeah.
yours truly here, you know, going through some very heavy things
we
right now.
We all are. We all are.
And
but we can rise above it.
But we're trying. We can rise above
Joy
it.
Joy is a choice.
Yes, it is.
So anyway, tomorrow is the Feast of Pentecost on God's biblical calendar. It is the fourth appointment of seven appointments fulfilled by Jesus. He's fulfilled the first four. And, of course, you can read about these appointments in Leviticus 23. But he fulfilled it by, first of all, he died on Passover.
Mm-hmm.
He was buried on unleavened bread. He rose from the dead on Feast of First Fruits. And he sent his Holy Spirit 50 days later on the Feast of Pentecost, which was the anniversary date of them receiving the law or the Torah or the commandments back in Exodus 20.
On Mount Sinai.
On Mount Sinai. On the anniversary. It's pretty cool.
Exactly.
Actually, it was 50 days after escaping Pharaoh's army.
Mm-hmm.
God gave Moses and the Israelites his Torah commandments as well as his promises. And that's important. He gave them promises. If they would remain faithful to him only. So on this day, God blew for the very first time for all to hear the shofar. If you look at Exodus 19, you'll see it. And if you look in your Strong's Concordance for the shofar of the trumpet, you will see that it is never blown before Exodus 19. And it was blown by God. Now, what does that tell us? Well, it gave us an idiom or an expression. So Pentecost has been known through the years as the first shofar
mm-hmm.
or the first trumpet.
Okay.
Okay, so it is an idiom. So anytime anybody says the first trumpet is about to blow, everybody would know in the first century that it was talking about Pentecost.
And in this century, too. You should know that.
Well, we should.
We'll test you on that
later. That's why I'm teaching
it.
That's why I'm saying it, yes.
We'll test you on that later.
Okay, so it became an idiom for the Feast of Shavuot, which is in Hebrew. And that means weeks, actually, occurring 7 weeks after the Feast of First Fruits. when they went through the Red Sea on dry land. And again, for further study, you might want to get my DVD on the spring feast. So everything is on there. But this first Pentecost, when they received the law, was actually a betrothal covenant between God and his people. And that's important to know, because we too, when we become born again, we enter into a betrothal agreement with Jesus. We're engaged.
And what did the children of Israel answer with the...
Exodus 24:3, is that the one you're talking about?
Yep.
They answered, yes, I do. All the words that the Lord has said, we will do. That's exactly what they said. Unfortunately, when Moses went up on the mountain to receive the written tablets of stone, and because it was nearing 40 days, the people grew impatient. Oh, my. Wanting to make an idol, which they did, the golden calf, to sort of represent them. For they thought Moses might not ever return. So they were worshiping a golden calf when he did return from Mount Sinai. And he was not happy.
No.
He rebuked them. And in fact, 3,000 Israelites died by the sword, directed by God.
Mm-hmm.
Then, for that.
But then there's a happy part to this, the flip side of this, right?
Oh, absolutely, because 2,000 years later, Jesus, after fulfilling the first three that we already mentioned, with his death, burial, and resurrection, and just prior to his ascension, he told his disciples to tarry in Jerusalem to keep the feast, as, by the way, was commanded in the Old Testament, and then he would send them the Comforter. And, of course, Acts chapter 2 records this spectacular event when the Holy Spirit would empower them and be their teacher to help them really understand the Scriptures. Because now, really, it's the Holy Spirit that helps us understand the Scriptures.
Yes.
Okay? So he gave them the law in the first Pentecost, and in Acts chapter 2, gave them the Holy Spirit to the believers to help them understand the Scriptures. Okay? Again, on the same anniversary date, the first Pentecost, many years before. Pente means five.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it was 50 days after the Feast of First Fruits. Always on a Sunday. Always on a Sunday. What is also remarkable about this happening, that most refer to as the birth of the church, by the way, is that on this same day, 3,000 souls repented, according to Acts chapter 2, and received the Lord as and his Holy Spirit. So God kind of replaced those who rebelled back in Exodus 32. I just thought that was interesting the Holy Spirit used the same number.
The same number, 3,000.
Yeah. And another fact is that God told the Israelites that during the first three feasts of every year, they could only eat unleavened bread. Now that would be Passover, the season of Passover.
Mm-hmm.
And they could only eat unleavened bread. Now leaven is always a type of sin. But the picture here is that Jesus, of course, was without sin, and he is our bread from heaven, the unleavened bread from heaven, who would take away the sins of the world. So we only need to believe in our hearts. Again, I say hearts and not just your mind. We've got a lot of people out there that are saying they're Christians, but I don't see it in their heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like a mind thing. But on the next feast day of Pentecost, which was 50 days after Feast of First Fruits, they are now allowed to eat leavened bread.
Why is that?
Well, obviously, he took our leaven, which was our sins, and now we are free from the bondage that sin produces, so we can eat leavened bread again.
Okay.
Yeah, just during the Passover season, because it represents Jesus being our unleavened bread, being a sinless sacrifice for us.
Among other things, that's what it represents.
Right.
Yeah. Represents a lot.
And also, besides being able to have leavened bread during Pentecost, they were to offer two loaves of leavened bread, which had been understood to represent both that Jews and Gentiles.
Can be recipients. Yes. Isn't that great?
Yes, it is.
And
it really
that's
is.
How we get grafted in.
That's right.
That's kind of a very unique picture of us being grafted in. If you can picture the Levitical priest holding up those two loaves of bread to the Lord.
And bringing them together.
And all because of our Savior, Yeshua, and his work that he did
on
the cross.
That's right.
Could be part of that. And that's just wonderful.
So actually, Pentecost reinforces his New Testament promises to us. Sin and its consequences, it's no longer a burden to carry, praise God. the ultimate sacrifice has been achieved. And I just praise God and thank him so much for doing that. We are so undeserving, and yet he loved us so much. Whew. But prior to the diaspora of the first century, okay, remember, because most of the Jews, of course, did not accept him, and he destroyed the temple because they really didn't need it anymore. You know, Jesus did all that he needed to do. He became all their sacrifices, you know, all their offerings. He is their temple. So God allowed the Romans to burn it down. But prior to that, they would read the Torah more intensely during the season of Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a tradition which began soon. Oh, and another tradition that began soon was the reading of the Scroll of Ruth, which tells the story of a Gentile falling in love with Israel and the people.
And that's
how appropriate.
Now this is a type, isn't it? This is a picture.
It certainly is. In fact, you know, John, every single story in the Old Testament is a type of something else.
As well as a true story, it's also a type and picture and can be prophetic as well.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So the story is a great type of how we, the church, are to feel about Israel, too, because Ruth marries the Jewish man, Boaz, who is a picture of our marriage to Jesus, who is our kinsman redeemer, the Goel, who redeems the land, as Jesus is about to, too, when he returns.
Mm-hmm.
But the story of Ruth, who is, by the way, King David's great-grandmother, takes place during the season between the barley harvest, which was the season of Passover, and the first fruits of the wheat, which is around May and June, which is Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
How appropriate, although not realized, that the Jews would pick this story of Ruth, which is really a type of the Bride of Christ, to read during Pentecost.
That's interesting.
Isn't it interesting? I think God has a little to do with things like that. He puts lots of stuff in the Jewish people's minds to do, and
yes,
sometimes they don't or won't know it until later.
I think God designed us to be very close to the Jewish people.
Oh yeah.
In order to understand the scriptures.
Absolutely.
And,
absolutely.
When we got away from that, the church got away from that. Is when we kind of lost.
Yeah, we threw it away.
We kind of lost these beautiful pictures, and we lost a lot of our understanding.
Yep. So we also are to embrace Israel just like Ruth did, and if we truly love Jesus, mm-hmm. we will do that because he was Jewish. For now we are no longer just a Gentile, but a born-again believer with a new name called Christian. And one day, all Israel will be saved too. And then they'll have the name of Christian.
And that's in Romans 11:26 and Galatians 3:28.
Yes. Well, all right. I can't believe another hour is gone, which we say every single time.
That has. How much time do we have?
I don't know. Maybe about 3 minutes, I think.
We've got
four
minutes.
Okay.
So,
anything else you want to talk about before we close?
No, I just like to mention that some of the topics that are archived in our website, Israel, how Israel has benefited America and the world. That's a nice subject. That's a great read. Tips mm-hmm. on how to study the Bible.
Yep.
Hebraic roots and the last trumpet. We talked about the first one today.
We did.
Post-rapture events and who are the elect.
That's a big one.
That's a biggie, yes. Rapture scriptures, the woman on the beast. That always raises a lot of questions.
Again, these are all archived on our webpage.
And the feasts as well. Teshuvah, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, Feast of Tabernacles, it's all there.
The prayer shawl is Jesus God, sanctification, again, the symbols of God, emblems, banners, oh my gosh, so much. Second Thessalonians, we talked about deception and being deceived. We talked about the book of Esther for Purim, the spring feasts, Matthew 24, the Olivet Discourse. We talked about the last day in that day. The resurrection, the messianics in the rapture, what their beliefs are. And oh my gosh, there's so much. If you were just to learn everything on these programs, you would have a lot of information. And it's all free.
Yes.
But please send us a donation.
Please do.
We're looking for 10 people that are willing to send in $100 a month. Please be willing to do that just to keep the show on the air because the funds are getting slow and we need your help.
That's true. And if you have any questions, or if you'd like to, Sheila to speak at your church or home group, just email her at sheila@shofarministries.net. Okay? So any and all donations are extremely important and vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. Please consider being a partner in this endeavor. Use PayPal or send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton 44021.
Yes, okay.
We're going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing today. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Shalom till next week. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. Not maybe.
Not maybe. Shall.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.